I'm Brittany French.
Hey, I'm Rob McDonald.
And this is the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast.
We're going to talk about everything from fishing and hunting to hiking, paddling, and adventures on the Great Plains. We'll cover it all here.
So join us each episode and hear what's going on in the great outdoors on the Great Plains. Welcome back to another episode on the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast. We're here on what feels like the coast of spring, and we've got spring forward time change behind us now, and I think spring is well on its way. I know I'm ready for that. I know everybody on this podcast is ready for that. Rob, it's good to see you today. What have you been up to?
Yeah, hey, Brittany. You know, I'm totally with you. When springtime's in the front windshield, things are starting to green up here. I think we're officially into the it's one of those things, you know, like the first day of spring or the first day of fall or winter never lands when you think it should. You know, it's like it should be spring now. And you look and it's like the first day of technically of spring is out there like another 2 or 3 weeks. So but we're there. It's officially spring. And I think all those springtime activities are on the horizon now. And I get pretty excited for that. And I don't think I'm alone, but springtime fishing action, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I always know spring is near when my husband casually asks me, hey, do you want to help me bury and dig out all of these sunk pumps and drainage from our house? Do all this fertilizing in the yard? And I'm like, oh yeah, that thing, I'll totally get excited about that. But one thing I think we can get excited about for springtime is fishing. You know, as a Southwest Kansas girl, local opportunities for angling in any season was pretty limited. In fact, I don't think there's a whole lot of opportunity out where I grew up right now to go fishing. But I think one of the best ways to engage that, even if you're limited in access, is to find a mentor. And I've got to tell you, we've got one of the best ones on the podcast with us today. The man, the myth, the legend, Brent Fazee, our very own Grandpa Fish, is the resident fishing expert here on the Great Plains Outdoors, and it's officially time for our springtime fishing report with Grandpa Fish. Brent, I think the first question for you, are the fish biting?
He's got a pole in his hand and he's headed off the land for the water today. Will he get a bite? Will he break his line? Fish in the Great Plains with Grandpa Fish.
Well, the fish right now, Brittany, are on an every other day biting schedule. Yesterday, I was at Truman Lake and doing a story on blue catfish, and it was really good, and it was really warm, but the wind was blowing like a tornado force, but but we still stayed on the water and we caught fish. Today, I don't know what it's like where you folks are, but it's rainy, cold, and I haven't tried it, but the fish probably aren't biting. But it's one of those roller coaster years, like we always say. Everybody always panics and they'll say, oh geez, it's global warming or climate change or whatever. No, March is always like this. You know, you make sure you can get out on the warm days and get out, and the fish are going to bite. Just a little warm up, they'll bite, but then, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. So that's kind of where we're at.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of a meme I saw the other day where it says a list of the different seasons, and it says we're in like the third winter season of Kansas, right? Where you have these false seasons that casually appear. So I think that means we're close to the actual spring season.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I am so ready. I'm tired of staring at my dog. You know, I've got a great dog. It's a yellow lab, but she's telling me the same thing. She said, you got to get out. You got to get out in the water. So I'm ready. I'm excited.
Well, let's get started with our very exclusive fishing forecast with you, Grandpa Fish. I'm excited about that. I'm excited to hear about what you have come up with and what research you've done for us.
Okay, great, Brittany. You know, we'd talked about this, Brittany and Rob and I, we'd talked about doing something where we just hit the different states on the Great Plains, and we kind of highlight some places to go this year. And each state, we've picked several different places or several different regions of the state where you're going to find some good fishing. Let's start with Kansas. Kansas, for the crappies, which a lot of people are interested in, the eastern part of the state is going to be the place to go this spring. In surveys by the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks, three of the region's reservoirs rank in the top five in crappie populations. Melvern is second, Hillsdale is third, and Perry is fifth. This is based on surveys by fisheries biologists from last fall. They're netting surveys and really looking like some good fishing at those places. And it's interesting because Hillsdale had always been known for its dinks. I mean, everybody would say Dinkville instead of Hillsdale. So
Brent, I'm curious a couple things. If Melvern is second, then where's first? Where's the best place?
First is Lovewell.
Okay.
Lovewell. And it interesting, and well, interesting that Lovewell in the past has rated as the top reservoir in the state based on these surveys that Wildlife and Parks
do. Now, are we talking the number of fish, the densities of the crappie, or are we talking density, like
we're talking about density and okay. and quality fish also? Okay. But interesting that some of my friends go up to Lovewell, and in the past when it's been ranked real high, they said they just don't get the type of fishing that they would expect from the reservoir that's ranked number one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just because these surveys show that the crappies are there, maybe sometimes they don't measure up to what the fishermen find out in the field. So that's kind of a caveat there on this. But anyway, Lovewell in north central Kansas leads the state in the density of crappies. Melvern is a close second, and Melvern is also among the state leaders in populations of crappies 12 inches and over.
Nice.
Now, Rob, you live pretty close to Melvern, don't you?
Yeah, I'm not too far, and I'll tell you, I've had some good days. Like last spring, took my boys up there, and Melvern does have some improved structure from the bank, some kind of riprap piers. And we could get out once you figured the depth out in the pattern, consistently catch crappies, you know, 10 inches and under, some short fish real consistently, where it was kind of a every other cast kind of thing. And I would suspect if you were out hunting for some bigger fish, putting in the time and serious about it, that they're there for sure. You could find. Now, I'm pretty sure, don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure that Melvern does have its own lake limit, apart from the state's crappie creel limit, so that you have to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but you better go there with your boys this year. Sounds like it's going to be a good one. A couple sleepers. And by sleepers, I mean these state fishing lakes that they still get quite a bit of pressure, but they're not widely known across the state. But Wildlife and Parks has predicted excellent crappie fishing, and they don't give out the excellent rating very often. So this Kingman State Fishing Lake and Scott State Fishing Lake, they're small bodies of water, but their population is looking really good this year. For walleyes, Wilson Reservoir, maybe the best walleye fishing in the state right now, if these fishery surveys are any indication. Wilson leads the major reservoirs in both numbers of fish and trophy fish. And by trophy, I say fish 25 inches and over. An 8.52-pound walleye was found during population surveys.
Yeah, and 25-inch walleye, that's a big
holy
walleye.
Cow, yeah.
They release these, they release these fish after they survey them. So technically, hopefully that fish is still in there and has grown a little bit. So
yeah. And so, I think historically, Wilson has a more liberal length limit on keeping walleye. If you're going to catch a few for a fish fry or something, that's one lake in Kansas where, you know, it's not 20 or 21 or 22 inch length limits.
I think you're correct. I believe it's 15 inches. Mm-hmm. 15 inches is their minimum size limit. So yeah, you do have a chance of getting that. And really, you know, if you're interested in walleye fishing, the time to go is late May into late May into mid June. That's when the fish are still shallow. They've recovered from the spawn, and they hit those mud flats. And oh my goodness, you can have some great walleye fishing, drift in the flats or fishing vertically where the flats drop off. So if you're looking to plan a trip to Wilson, that's when I would suggest you go.
Tell you what, Wilson is excellent for a family retreat in general. I think it is. I'm biased because I spend most of my summers there.
Do you? It's
probably like the most kid family friendly lake here in Kansas. And I think it's really accessible for walking, hiking, biking, running, fishing, swimming. I mean, it's just great all around. So I hope people really take advantage of that forecast you shared.
And you know what, Brittany, it's the most beautiful reservoir in the state of Kansas too, with those, it reminds me of a Western type body of water. It's got those real like canyon coves and with all the rocky outcropping, it's beautiful, beautiful area. One last thing in Kansas, for catfish, hit John Redman if you're looking for a big channel cat. The reservoir is loaded with big fish. Some people aren't going to want me saying this because they're trying to kind of guard that piece of information, but it really is. I've been out to John Redman several times with real good channel cat fishermen, and it has some big old fish. The best time to go, believe it or not, is when everybody's starting to think about hunting. And that is in early fall. The cormorants come in and they roost on the trees on the water. And when they feel they have to relieve themselves and their droppings go in the water, their droppings are filled with shad. And a well-known pattern there is they'll fish with cut bait and they'll fish right below the cormorant roosts. And it's a great way to catch fish. It's a pretty well-known pattern, and that's a great way to catch big channel cat. Couple other things here. El Dorado has the state's best density of blue cats. That's 20 inches and longer. But I tell you what, you can't forget the Missouri and Kansas rivers. Cheney, Lovewell, and Milford, they all offer the best shot at a fish 35 inches or longer. So that's some key spots in Kansas. I wanted to talk to you. Let's take a pause before we go on to the other Great Plains states. We're already seeing some good things happening on the Great Plains, despite this up and down weather. Paddlefish snagging season has opened in Missouri and Kansas, and fishermen are really out in force. The season opened at 12:01 a.m. March 15th in Missouri and in Kansas, And there are always people who love to go out in the dark at places like Table Rock and Lake of the Ozarks to greet the season. Now, I've done that when I was a younger guy. And it's cold, it's miserable, and you're snagging in water so black that you can hardly see what you're doing. But it's a lot of fun. It's tradition.
When you hook a 60-pound fish by the tail in the current, that's a pretty exciting time. I've done that a little bit, man. And those fish are wild, you know, not a bone in their body, and they have that big gaping mouth. They're something.
It's a strange fish. I mean, it's a prehistoric fish. And how they get so big when they're not meat eaters, they feed on plankton.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing. They feed on plankton. And how they get that large by having a vegan diet. I'm kidding. But you know, without having a meat diet. I mean, I've gotten really big, but it's because I'm a carnivore. You know, I eat meat and I eat greasy stuff.
So you're saying those spoonbill don't eat Dairy Queen?
No, I don't think so.
Well, they're not living.
I haven't read it in the research anyway. So, also, something exciting, trout season is really in full swing in Kansas. Wendat County Lake and Shawnee Mission in Kill Creek in Johnson County, they've been stocked and the fishing has really been good. I'm hearing a lot of people. I've been out there and it's really good fishing right now. Rob, the other day you were telling me about how Wildlife and Parks stocked some of the smaller waters in Kansas.
There's a number of put and take trout fisheries in Kansas, and I know below the dam over at El Dorado is almost like a mountain trout stream type setting, you know. They also put some trout in at Emporia State at the Prophet Aquatic Center. That's a new area that's open to the public. That's up in Phil Taunton's stomping grounds up there. And there's some other community lakes like New Strawn's little community lake, and I think the Stilling Basin out at Webster, out by Stockton. If it's got water in it, I hope it does, they generally stock that. So you could definitely go to Wildlife and Parks website and see those stocking reports and get an idea. You do have to buy your trout stamp. And I've had pretty good luck. You know, my boys like to fly fish, and we'll run a strike indicator, also known as a bobber for those non-fly fishermen, and run like a little beadhead woolly bugger under that. And just kind of drift it through them and have pretty good success. And then two, for those spin cast fishermen, you know, the trick that I found is to use the smallest little hook for those floating dough baits, or the ones that are like the little eggs that are garlic scented and different colors, have sparkles, whatever in them. But if your hook's too heavy, it'll sink it to the bottom. So if you use a small enough hook, a leader, Carolina, rig that with a swivel or something so your weight doesn't slide all the way down to your hook. And if you get that bait up off the bottom, a lot of those stock trout in those types of situations, you can have some pretty fast action.
Excellent. Well, let's go on with our 2023 forecast. Nebraska, walleye fishing. McConaughey has historically been known for big walleyes. This last year, they took some toads, and their surveys are saying that this year should be no different than in the past. There's going to be some big old toads taken at McConaughey. So keep that in mind. That's,
now, Brent, is that a technical term, toad?
Yeah. It's one I just made up. Yeah. A toad fish. Don't know what a toad fish is?
The toad walleye fish. Yep. I'm with you. Looking for hog, but I'll go with toad.
No, toad fish is much better. It's one big bleep fish. So look after that. For others in Nebraska, Merritt Reservoir is excellent for decent sized walleyes also. Sherman and Elwood also rank at the top of their listings, their survey listings for big walleyes. That's based on fall surveys by the Nebraska Game, Fish, and Parks. Highest samplings of total population of walleyes: Winters Creek, Merritt, Johnson, Big Elk Eye, and Sutherland. So if you're a walleye fisherman, keep that in mind. They got some good things going on out there. And I'm surprised that there weren't more problems after all the flooding they had last year. But apparently, it didn't affect the walleye populations that much. So that's if you're looking for a road trip, Nebraska would be a good place right now. Panfish. One thing I love about Nebraska, they've got diversity with their panfishing opportunities. You can go at some of these smaller lakes that they have there in Nebraska. You can catch big crappies, big bluegills, and big yellow perch in the same location. And some of those, you know, some of those are the small lakes in the sand hills. They don't have the numbers of panfish that you'll find in the larger reservoirs, but they offer some really nice, some nice sized fish. Rob, did you tell me, have you fished those sand hills lakes out in Nebraska? Or was,
you know, I did years and years ago. It's been a long time. You know, when we had Daryl Bauer on, I'd encourage our listeners to go back and tune into that episode, just talking about Nebraska fishing. If I remember correctly, I think there's northern pike in some of those sandhill lakes as well.
There are, which is fun too.
Yeah.
Fun. So anyway, we're going to move on. Let's go to Iowa. And Brittany, I know you've been spending a lot of time in Iowa through Outdoor Mentors. Have you run into some places you would like to fish out there?
You know, I have not yet. We have gotten, I guess, pun intended here, our sea legs there. And we're starting to do more fishing activities with all of our kids there. So I will gladly come back with a report on that here soon. But I do know our Iowa program coordinator, Steph Lane, she does a great job at getting kids out there and is really doing a good job at finding some of those local spots.
Great. Great. Well, you can suggest some spots to her from.
I know. That's what I'm excited about.
Yeah.
Everybody wins with your forecast.
Yeah. Great. Great. Walleye fishing. You know, you don't think of Iowa when you think about walleyes, but I tell you what, it has some fantastic walleye fishing. Their river system really produces some big fish. And I went to Drake University in Des Moines. And I would fish during that time, but one thing I didn't even know I was living so close to was the Des Moines River. In the central part of the state, it produces big fish when there is enough flow. And some of those are taken by bank fishermen. The stretch near Sailorville Dam can be a great place to fish in the spring. The Mississippi River, particularly in the tail race areas below the dam, they can also offer some outstanding fishing for walleyes and saugers. For reservoirs, Big Creek, Clear, Rathbun, and Spirit Lakes all contain good numbers of walleyes, although not as many big ones as found in the river system. So that's something to keep in mind for Iowa walleye fishing. Catfish. Again, Iowa's largest river systems offer some of the best channel cat fishing. The Mississippi, the Missouri, and the Des Moines all have the quantity and quality that people are looking for. So keep that in mind. There's some good fishing in Iowa. And Brittany, when you're doing all those hunting programs in Iowa, you got to say, just tell the people you got to take a break and slip out to a river.
You got to go take this Zoom meeting by the river.
Yeah, everybody will say, where's Brittany? And they'll find you on the riverbank with a big old stringer of walleye.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, let's go to South Dakota. South Dakota is famous for its walleye fishing. I mean, you know, there are some people who, in a good year, they'll say that the walleye fishing in South Dakota is as good as they find in Minnesota or Canada. It has that many walleyes. Lake Oahe is the king. It always has been. It's one of the nation's best walleye fisheries, and it should continue to produce plenty of fish this year. The problem at Lake Oahe is the number of mid-sized walleyes are declining. And so it was just a gap in year classes. And probably this Lake Oahe really fluctuates in water level. And some years that's good if they're getting high water and they can have some great spawns, but in years when they're going through a drought, it can be tough. So the nice thing is South Dakota Department of Game, Fish and Parks realizes that they have plans to increase the stockings of walleyes and bait fish this year. And it's interesting that they're stocking bait fish, because you don't see many states that do that, but I think that's a great idea. You know, it kind of, you got to have the fish food before you have the good sized fish. And, you know, they're going to fill in some of those year classes this year. If you're planning a trip to Oahe, try the Mobridge area or the Chamberlain area. That's in the spring. They get a lot of those spawning fish. And the pier area in the summer, really good fishing. If you're looking for eater-sized walleyes, Lake Sharp has an excellent population of 15 to 17-inch fish. Smallmouth bass. Some of you who know me know that I'm a bass head. I love fishing for bass. And Oahe has quietly provided some of the nation's best fishing for smallmouth bass. In a large reservoir like Oahe, it can be hard to find them, but once you do find them, you can catch some big fish. And the nice thing is, it's going through a trend right now, and smallmouth bass are doing really well. Major League Fishing had a tournament out there, and they caught some really big walleyes out there. So I think that lake is on the rise for big fish and national recognition. So anyway, that's something to do. I know what the some of the guides do a cast and blast type thing. They'll have clients out, and they'll hunt for pheasants, and some of those public areas very close to the major reservoirs are known for their good grasslands and good pheasant habitat. And then they'll fish for walleyes for a day or two also. So that's something to keep in mind too. That's a fun deal if you like to both hunt and fish. So,
you know, when we get into the Dakotas here, Brent, you know, I can't help but think of, remember Gerson Keeler in the Prairie Home Companion. I don't know if you ever tuned into that program. They talk about the on the banks of Lake Wobegon, and where the women are strong and the men are handsome and the children are above average.
The children are above average. I like that. Well, I don't know. How do you determine if your children are above average? I mean,
well, that, mine are.
Is that an objective thing or a subjective thing? I guess I would say my kids are above average, but they've got a way of slapping me down every once in a while, and then I say below average. So I don't know. Anyway, well, let's go on to North Dakota. And boy, years ago I went out to Lake Sakakawea, and wow, what a neat place. Beautiful place. And it has some fantastic fishing, has some fantastic hunting too. I mean, it really does. It has everything. The previous season was one to remember there at Lake Sakakawea. The game fish and the bait fish population were both in great shape. And the biologists out there are saying this year might even be better. They're noticing a boom in the reproduction of forage fish in the fall. And remember, we were talking about if you got plenty of fish food, you got some fat fish. So they're saying that they've already got a good population of walleyes, and there should be some really good growth just based on what they're seeing in forage fish. Fisheries biologists also found in their fall surveys the strongest sauger reproduction cycle in the last 50 years. That's saying something, I tell you. And those saugers are fun, and they're good eating fish too. They're a cousin of the walleye. They're smaller, but excellent eating and a lot of fun. Devil's Lake, another traditional walleye hotspot. It should continue to produce good fishing this year. Again, some really strong populations, and they've got a good mix of quantity of keepers and some trophy fish too. So that's something to keep in mind. Yellow perch, I love this. You know, most people around here, around in Kansas and Missouri, they say, yeah, we're fishing with perch. Well, no, they're not. They're fishing with green sunfish, or they're fishing with little bluegills.
Northern strain bluegill, right.
Yeah, and they call those perch. No, by perch, we mean yellow perch. And they're yellow in color with black bands running down vertically. And they are, I grew up with yellow perch. My parents had a cottage in Wisconsin, and we had tons of perch. But we never had the real giants like they do in the Dakotas. And the yellow perch, they bite best in the wintertime. In other words, they'll stay put in the wintertime. You can find them through the ice, and they'll stay. And you can catch them one after the other if you really get into them. Now, later on, the guides have told me that they'll scatter, and it's harder. They're still there, but it's harder to get into the real good fishing. But when the water is still cool, like in the spring, they'll still stay put along the weed lines, and you can have some great yellow perch fishing. And nothing better than catching a mixed stringer of nice-sized walleyes and yellow perch.
And so, those lakes on that weed line, they have freshwater shrimp up in that country up north. Is that mostly what those yellow perch are feeding on?
No, it's mostly bait fish. I mean, okay. It's a lot of bait fish, and I'm not sure it's even shad. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, they have some bait fish up there that we don't have here. I'm not exactly sure. Gotcha. What it is, but it's not as much the shad as what we have. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's that's our roundup of what we have on this. And if you're thinking, well, I didn't write all this down or whatever, we're going to have an article on this on our website here soon. And you can go to our website and you can, Brittany and Rob, I think you can have a link to this podcast at the end of that article so they could both read it and they could listen to this again.
You bet. Yeah, we'll put a link to the article in the show notes for the podcast. And then on the website, we'll link the podcast episode from the article.
Okay, great. Well, you know, just one last thing I wanted to tell you that we got coming up, some things to get excited about. The walleye spawn will be taking place soon. In fact, maybe by the time you post this, we need some warm nights to get that water temperature up over 45 degrees and the walleyes start coming into the dams and off rocky points on some of our Kansas reservoirs. And that's the chance to catch some of the biggest walleyes of the year. Problem is they're preoccupied with mating and they're not feeding that actively. But if you get lucky and you put it in front of the right fish, you can catch some giants. I think most of our state records in Kansas, in fact, in all these states, have taken place during that early period. We mentioned trout fishing, paddlefish snagging, that's going on. And later on in the spring, we've got our crappie spawn coming on. And Rob, I know you do this, you and your sons do this. The white bass spawning runs. Tell me a little bit, or tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, we always look forward to trying to catch the white bass run. At least in our area, you know, the bigger reservoirs generally have a strong population of white bass. And if the inlet creeks, rivers are up much at all, and you time that right, when the water temperature gets right, you know, we look for kind of what runs in my mind is as far as the chronological order of spawning fish is, you know, if the walleyes are starting to run, start to be thinking about the white bass, when the white bass start to run, start to be thinking about the crappie. But when those white bass run, a lot of times we'll find them in a creek that's maybe, you know, 6-8 foot across, 2-3 foot of water. And, right, you know, you throw out any kind of a shad looking, you know, just a little curly tail, something white, chartreuse, maybe a horse head jig with a little flasher on the back. And if you're running a light line, like anything under 6-pound test, those fish fight hard and they're probably not going to break you off if there's not structure. But I've been on some of those trips where you catch so many that your line just starts to lose that elasticity, you know, just kind of lays there limp and curls all up and stuff. And that's a sign of a good fishing trip, you know.
I like that kind of fishing trip. That's great. Well, that is what we can tell you about what's going on. I hope everybody's as excited as we are. I'll turn it back to Brittany.
Yeah, what a great report. I do got to say, I'm super thankful for your forecast here, Brent, and the research you put into that. And Rob, too, your knowledge and expertise. It's exciting to be able to hear from you guys and understand it. And I'm sure many other people are going to appreciate that as well. So thanks for sharing. I know I'm pretty excited about the rest of our guest lineup that we have the rest of the spring season. We've got a couple turkey experts on are coming up, I should say, and we'll be getting some published articles on our website as well. So please stay tuned for all of that.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you, Brittany. Between turkey hunting and, dare I say, morel mushroom foraging, You know, that's probably just a few weeks out. I have started to see on some mushroom Facebook groups that I follow, some mushrooms being found like in the southern Smoky Mountain range, down along southern Oklahoma, kind of that Texarkana area. And for those that don't follow that, it's kind of a bragging rights, you know, to say where you were the earliest one to find some morels, or you know, prove it that it wasn't a picture last year. So a lot of folks will take like the current newspaper for your area and then lay the mushrooms on that so you can see the date of when you actually took the picture. And you want to get people fired up, you know, ask somebody where they caught a fish and they'll lie to you, and you ask somebody where they found a mushroom, they might just smack you.
Yeah, they'll go deaf. They'll go be a mute and a deaf person all at once.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. My kids are pretty good about, you know, ask them where they caught the fish. It was in the water.
yeah. Well, that's always a thing, especially when you're talking about those little creeks for the white bass. Those you tell a few people and you're going to have half the town there the next day. So, well, anyway, I appreciate you having me on, Brittany and Rob. It's always fun. We have a good time. You know, even though we're not rich, we have a good time. We're rich in experiences, I guess.
There you go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we will have to come to our guest in May sometime with a report from Lake Wilson when we all get together out there. So This is not the last time they'll be hearing from all of us.
That's great. And you heard the forecast for Wilson. Of course, we'll jinx it. We'll jinx it when we're out there.
You know, I'll start praying now.
The walleyes will magically disappear, but. Anyway, we'll have a good time. So
absolutely. So
anyway, I encourage everybody to all of our listeners to share this podcast and the Great Plains Outdoors website with their friends. I've gotten to know these two, and I highly respect the next generation of communicators. I'm the old guy. That's why they named me Grandpa Fish. And I didn't protest too much. What the heck? It's accurate.
If the shoe fits.
That's exactly right. But anyway, you know, we have a good time. And I really would encourage people to share the podcast and to share our website, because we're going to have some really neat stuff coming up about the Great Plains. So That is all I've got. I'm have to take my oxygen now for talking so long. So Brittany, what do you think?
I love it. I love it. Thank you all for tuning in and listening to us. And please, like what Brent said, please share our podcast. Share with a friend, share with a newbie, and we look forward to having you all on the next one.
Hey guys, it was a lot of fun. I'll see you later.
We'll see ya.
Checking out. Bye-bye.